This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Oh, excuse me, I didn't see you there. Let me just finish my tweet and I'll be right with you. You found us once again at Business Success Tips. It's good times. But Paul's still here, and Sean's still here.
Hello.
And Andreas is still here, and Steve's still here.
And Eric. Baby.
And the baby. Baby is still
back.
Here.
Hot wife.
Lisa.
The grandmother.
Tommy's
and
here.
And Tommy. Our teenage adopted son.
How old are you, Tommy?
17.
17. Good age.
Good age.
It's good times.
Yeah. So... Well, we last left us, we were saying,
is
there any way to make money on Twitter? And there was people that talked about first place, when they do the IPO, which will happen probably in 3 years or so, there will be $1 billion or so, I'm sure, because they offered $500 million and turned it down. So
that's incredible, huh?
But here's the question, though.
I hope that doesn't go south on them. They'll be really crying in their beer for the next.
Be like, can I still get that $500 million?
Well, they had a vote at TwitterCon. Remember they said, how many people think they were stupid by turning down $500 million, and how many people think they were smart? And the audience was split. But from my understand, Evan did okay selling Blogger to he doesn't
Google.
Need the money.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need the money. So it's a principle kind of thing.
But here's the question, though: do they really ever have to make money? Because they can keep doing what they're doing, and another offer will come along before they monetize.
Well, they've already been funded for like $30 million or something, so they can burn $3 or $4 million.
Here would be my fear, and this would be my fear. I would, if I was Twitter, I would be afraid that if you don't sell to Google, that Google basically
annihilates you.
You do not go up against Google.
Yeah.
If Google decides that they're going to beat you, eventually they could beat you. Not Microsoft, Google.
But Google, Google's all obsessed with Wave, which is their new bloatware. Have you seen Wave?
No, I haven't seen it. I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, you got to check it out. I mean, Twitter is, you know, simplicity defined compared to Wave, which is this big monster product, which may end up being great.
Describe Wave in 30 seconds.
In 30 seconds, it's like combining email, instant messaging, Twitter, and a few other things all into one.
Hmm.
Wow.
And it uses Gmail, and
It's a whole new platform. It leverages Chrome pretty heavily. So Chrome's going to spread to other platforms other than the
PC. If I was the Twitter guys, I just wouldn't want to end up being that guy who's like 50 at the bar and still wears his Letterman jacket from high school. You know, like, remember Twitter? Wasn't that awesome?
Well, the cool
we had something
there. One of the coolest part of the conferences was Jason Calacanis from Mahalo, who knows how to make money, came up. And he came up and he presented these monetization concepts for Twitter. And the first thing he did was he put basically an ad in the place of the top tweet in the stream. And he said, how many people in the audience would stop using Twitter or would be bummed out if the top entry was an ad? No one put up their hand. So Twitter could monetize tomorrow.
Well, if you go to, I use Twitterific on my iPhone, and they have an ad now on top.
Yes.
Right.
And it doesn't bug me.
And those Tweety for the Mac.
But nobody's paying for anything.
But who's clicking those ads?
Not me.
Is that a business model if nobody's clicking them?
Well, the other thing they said is that you could monetize advertising through it. You could charge for uses of it. If it becomes the platform, there's a lot of ways to monetize it. And one guy put it well. He said the monetization model that will probably work is the 1% pays for the other 99%. Because if you get corporations and people like that to fund this stuff, it becomes a major thing that they use. 1% can fund the other 99%.
Google buys it basically, right?
No, corporations use it. And they spend money on it. It doesn't take a lot. I mean, if you've got 100 million people on it, it doesn't take a lot.
So here's what I think. I think that the platform is not where you make the money, not to the audience from Twitter directly. So I think you could do premium services. That's another one that's been thrown out there. I don't know if Cal Canis said that, but I think, you know, like a premium elite version of Twitter that would be features that only the power users or the corporations would want. That's viable. Where I'm spending money, I just spent my first $100 on a Twitter third party product. I dropped $100 yesterday.
Oh snap!
Ooh.
Yeah, and it was on. It was on your competitor. No, I'm just kidding.
Nice guy.
Yeah, I know. I'm a jerk. No, I spent it on Twello. And Twello lets you auto-follow people based on keywords. Mm-hmm. So things that I'm interested in. And the free account, which you can do 5 for free. Mm-hmm. So things like, you know, for me, it's like
they give you a little taste.
Yeah, give you a little taste. And actually, it's a pretty good taste. 5 keywords is decent. But I wanted to go hog wild.
Oh, you love your keywords.
Oh, man.
You're a keyword junkie.
Kung fu and, you know, whatever else it was. Drumming and what have you. And hair bands from the 80s and... And so I
Van Halen, just straight up.
So I was willing to spend $99. Now it's the third party. If Twitter then charges the companies, sorry guys, but if they charge the companies that want to access to use the APIs, be licensed and Twitter certified, they could charge B2B rather than B2C.
Well, there's the whole thing. Or both. There's the whole thing about charging for better access to the API. One of the questions was, you know, what would companies pay and developers pay for a premium access to the API? And everybody raised their hand, we'd all pay for that.
Really? Everybody? Really? Yeah. The majority would pay for that? That surprises me.
Right, because it doesn't have to be a lot. But when you look at the data itself, once you get 100 million people on something, and they're all talking about something, and you can analyze this data a zillion ways, and also you've got 10,000 developers all working really hard on how to develop this thing. So it's not just the 45 employees that Twitter has, which is that's about it. It's all the developers...
Here comes the wave.
To come up with new stuff. Uh-oh, here it is. The visual on this is they're trying to pour wine through the Venturi. We're holding up the microphone. There it is. And they spilled a little on Sean's table, but it will work.
It's okay.
Thank you.
It's finished. We're all right.
So they're willing to pay for the business API.
Right.
Yeah. But is it more calls per hour? Is that what it is?
Well, they're still having, you know, right now there's a land grab on for the Twitter handles. We suggest all our fans out there get a Twitter handle if you want to get it now.
That's a really good point.
But let's talk about that for a second, though. Because Paul and I were talking the other day, and he said, well, you know, you should just get your domain as your Twitter handle. And that's one approach, but the other approach might be to get something descriptive to your business and or location.
I like the descriptive.
Like CRM tweets and things like
that. Yeah, yeah. And you know, we didn't use our domain. We used LexNet CRM because we wanted to have CRM in our handle.
Smart.
I think, well, why choose? Do both. I mean,
take them all.
That's a good point.
I'm sorry, but you know, it's all free. Close to your brand, it's just like domains. You should be grabbing everything. Yeah. Now, there's a tool, and I don't remember what it is. I'll have it for the next episode. But there's a tool that lets you go out and look at every single site that's out there. I mean... You know, Twitter, Facebook, well, not Facebook probably so much, but...
Facebook's weak.
MySpace, every single social media or related site, and see if your one name, handle, whatever you put it in, is available on that site, on those sites, and it comes back and tells you green light, red light, what have you. Have you seen that?
Is it called Handle It? Because that would be great if it was.
No, I'll figure it out.
We should make one called Handle
It. I'll definitely mention it in the next episode, but whatever it is, you definitely should, from an identity management standpoint, go out and secure your name on every up-and-coming or potential site you might ever possibly use.
It's all free.
Especially if you have a really good name. I mean, if you have something really esoteric that nobody's ever going to, you know, like, you know, Mr. Tweety 152, you're probably safe.
Or your own personal name probably doesn't matter.
How'd you know, Sean?
Well, if you're John Smith.
And I saw a post on TechCrunch this week that Facebook might be moving to vanity URLs, which they don't have right now. So that's another big
Well, guess what? You mentioned iJustine. iJustine, I don't know if that was off mic or on mic, but she has that. I was like, Facebook.com/iJustine. How did she get that?
Beta.
Yeah. Alpha. Well, I guess you have to be iJustine.
Is that right?
I can get that.
Sean,
you're almost as good looking as iJustine.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Well, what's interesting is you've got what Twitter's mail to leverage is only got 45 people working for them, which is very many, and they're trying to hire like crazy to scale it. But when you think about the 10,000 people that are developing applications, it's a lot of people working to make this thing work, a lot of really smart people that are putting all their time and energy for free to develop applications like us, and in hope that it's all going to really work. So once you get enough momentum in anything like this, even though Google has huge amounts of horsepower, Google didn't exist 9 years ago. Twitter didn't exist 3 years ago.
Yeah, well, it did, but
it's all business cycles. I mean, Google isn't going to be the 800-pound gorilla forever, right? This is their day. Microsoft had their day.
Intel had their day.
Well, and they're still having it, but... As far as the dominant force in technology, there's a cycle, right?
I just wish I could befriend the gorilla when it gets there.
So, an interesting point, when we were talking to, I was interviewing MC Hammer.
You really did.
I really did.
He seems like a pretty cool guy.
He's a very Did you do the handshake right?
Did you try to touch it? I tried it, but I screwed it up.
I probably screwed up the handshake.
Show me the handshake. I'll describe it as you do it. Do it to Jason.
I don't even know what it was.
Give it a shot. Don't knock your wine glass over.
Humble.
That's the easy one.
That's the shake. No. Go shake. There.
That's the big one. I just like the simple. MC Hammer probably knows them all.
That's like a light handshake.
I just wish I was there because I would get a picture with like one of my hands going two and the other legit. Just be right next to him.
He did this with everybody that took his picture.
Because he's too legit. And he's too legit to quit. You know that.
He actually still has the moves too. He had a video on YouTube recently. And
I've always loved MC Hammer and I'll defend him to the day I die. It's like...
You have a parachute pants
when I was younger, and they're so damn comfortable.
In case you don't know, the MC Hammers. MC was very well known. He hired a bunch of friends, lost all his money, and
he was actually a bat boy for the Oakland A's, and that's where he got his nickname.
I did not know that.
He got his nickname there because he used to dance in the clubhouse, and they used to call him Hammer, and that's where it came from. And he became MC Hammer as a bat boy for the Oakland A's.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Another guy you should got to know other than
Dave. God, right. I should have been there.
The boat
so Hammer made a lot and lost a lot. But what he said, which made a lot of sense to me, one is that if you're going to do the Twitter thing, you've got to dedicate time to it. He spends 4 hours a day. And now instead of ghostwriting
or
everything,
you can use TweetFunnel and get multiple contributors and stagger your tweets.
Yeah.
But that sounds like a better
option.
You
have to work at it. He said you have to really work at developing a persona.
Sounds like a man's option right there.
So I would like to mention, as long as we're plugging things, and I'm not going to say this because I'm not selling this yet. Yeah. But I actually am doing a Twitter info product, so I'm actually going to do this product that people buy for whatever amount of money. They're $297 or something.
I thought that would have been like five grand.
I know.
I can get a whole more.
But it's not for sale yet, so I'm not even going to try to promote it here.
Ginsu knives?
You're going to get the ShamWow?
I don't even know what the name
is. Is the ShamWow guy going to promote it?
Twitter success.
ShamWow, I mean.
But so I'm just going to describe to people how I manage my Twitter, and it makes it a little bit easier. Now, TweetFunnel, I think definitely for businesses. That's the only way to go. But if you're just Joe, average person who doesn't want to spend any money and also doesn't want to have your entire life consumed, you mentioned one thing, Twitterific.
That's what I use, because I just tap it out.
But on the console, on the PC, if you have a Mac, actually, Adobe Air applications are really cool because they sit on your desktop and they're very transparent and very cool and all that. There is an application, and it's a little different to watch your incoming Twitter stream mm-hmm. from people that you follow versus Twittering out, especially if you have multiple accounts. Okay, so what I use is either TweetDeck, and a lot of people know about TweetDeck. Right. It's awesome, but it's really a single account. Okay, so if you're using one account, TweetDeck rules. If you have multiple accounts, Tweety for the Mac.
Yeah.
And then there's also this Seismic desktop for...
We met those guys.
Yeah, those are really good too. But Hootsuite is really, really good for tweeting on multiple accounts mm-hmm. because it lets you easily choose I'm going to send a tweet out. It'll shorten the URL so that it fits in 140 characters. And then you can just it has little icons representing all of your different accounts. And for me, by the way, I've got 16 of them. No, sorry. I have 14 of them for all the businesses and podcasts and all this crap. So I'll send a tweet. Hey, this is relevant for accounts, 1, 2, 5, and 7. Click, 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 boom. And you can schedule it for a delayed tweet too, because you can't, you can't jam your tweet queue up. So I say, this will be in an hour. And then I have all these bloggers that co-promote me and that I co-promote. So I staggered in there. Anyway, really good for managing the outgoing. And then for the incoming, I use the other tool. And between those two, it actually lets me, have a life and not have it be consumed.
Speaking of having a life, you know who Scofield is?
Scobalizer, yeah. Roberts. You're talking about
Scoble.
Robert Scoble. Right. Scoble. Robert Scoble.
Yeah, I knew who you meant. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I
know him by his Twitter handle.
In fact, it's funny because we approached Robert Scoble and said, Robert, you want to be an advisor? And he says, $100,000. He says, well, why? Because anything, his advice is anything you don't want to do, you ask for so much money that if you do it, you feel good about it. And if you don't, you don't care.
Smart guy.
Good advice.
So somebody was asking Scoble how he managed his whatever 300,000 followers, whatever he's got. And he described his home, studio. He's got 5 screens. And each screen has multiple divisions. So he said that, what's the one that filters all friends or something? The people that lets you know who's
friend feed?
Friend feed.
Yeah, friend feed.
So he's got friend feed, which is going here, and then he's got, you know, Hootsuite, and then he's got Google News. And so he's got five screens. The five screens are divided to whatever, three or four each. So you're looking at 20 separate screens simultaneously.
He's poised well for world domination attempts.
Wow, I want to play with that guy.
And he has this whole array, and he sits in front of it and somehow figures it out. And then he, like, tweets back when it's appropriate. And I'm just going, this is nuts.
I bet she sits there and touches himself and thinks about world power. That's right. I'm calling you out. You and
hey,
all
don't diss our man, Scobalizer.
That's right. Saying.
He's a good man.
Well, you guys paid the $100,000? No, I like that, though. Charging $100,000.
And he went around.
He said it in a very good-natured way.
He was a nice guy. Really nice guy. And Guy Kawasaki's a nice guy. He's pretty approachable. He's a good guy. And what's cool about going to conferences, I recommend people to meet all these people, which you could hardly ever meet ever.
Well, in any industry, in any business you're starting, you should go to the conference of that their business, because you'll meet connections.
Well, what is good about Twitter and something that's up starting like this is it was the first official Twitter conference ever, and you can meet the celebrities are not celebrities yet. I mean, Guy Kawasaki's...
Yeah, they're never going to be celebrities, because nobody outside of the goddamn Twitter world cares about any of these
But it was interesting at the 140TC, because, you know, Calacanis kind of jets in, does a speech, and jets out, right? But Scoble, he's the photographer. I mean, he's going around
meeting
with the crowd.
These people, if you see that Intel commercial where, like, the guy who invented, I don't know, something that they invented, like, walks through the room, and they're like, oh, my God, it's so-and-so. Because they're trying to, like, make, like, tech people actually be, like, rock stars, and it's, like, never going to work.
Well, they, you know, in fact,
they sit there and count their money. That's
until the celebrities hit Twitter, the celebrities were the tech guys, and then they got eclipsed by the.
Well, Shaq's got a million followers.
Yeah, and what's his face? Demi Moore's husband,
Ashton Kutcher.
You know, all those, and then
A+K.
And actually, it was funny because some of the guys were kind of some of the guys were kind of lamenting the fact that. Man, we were the stars, and then these guys came along. You know,
right?
And
so.
Real celebrity always
does. Right, exactly.
Internet celebrity.
Yeah.
Well, and Oprah went on that, helped a lot too. That was the biggest surge they had that killed their servers.
Yeah,
is when Oprah. Adopted.
She's always the biggest
surge.
The way they
referred to it, they had to refer to it in a nice positive way while sort of sounding like. Fuck, that sucked.
I hadn't seen the fail whale for about 3 months. The fail whale is the thing you see when the Twitter servers are over capacity.
Right.
And then it was right during that time, and it was all of a sudden it was back.
Right.
Some people actually are so like Twitter geeky that they miss the fail whale. They like when the site fails and they see the whale. I'm not like that.
No.
Thank God, Sean, or else you wouldn't be with us here today.
People think it's okay, and, man.
And one of the things that Hammer did say was... It's incredible. In the midst of a recession and all this negative news, this is an opportunity, whether it's Twitter or so. We talked about it in another show. There's incredible opportunities that something is in a very rapid growth rate when the economy sucks. And to our followers out there, we talked about blogging. They could, you know, sell our blogs or not.
You won't be making any money, but at least you can feel good like you're contributing.
But ironically, when there's not the financial pressure, some amazingly creative ideas
come out. That's true.
That's true. But it is the whole social media thing is an opportunity for people that are doing other things to look at social media as a way of, whether it's Twitter or LinkedIn sort of dead, but there are different ways of making money. In any economy, things are going up and things are going down. They've never seen a depression and a recession is whether or not you're working. And the difference between the good economy and the bad, you can always choose what side of the economy you're going to be on. So even when unemployment's up and houses are down, whatever, there's always a place to succeed, always.
Well, and I think the key is to go where the momentum is, go where the interest is, go where things are happening. So I think that Twitter is just an example of where there's energy flowing. And you guys went there, and I'm going there in my own way too.
It doesn't take a lot of money, because here we were with these people that had spent, you know, we got our funding for $1 million, we got our funding for $800,000. And they're talking about we got to go for our second round of funding and blah, blah, blah. And they were like,
and ours was just 400 hours of his time round the
400
clock.
Hours of
doing. Yeah. And that's no joke. It's around 400, maybe 600 hours of my time.
Right.
But, which said $100,000 an hour. That's like $4 million.
But I'm for free. I do anything for
free.
Money.
That's right.
But, that's why we like you, Andre.
Yeah, right.
Like
I know. So I'm
but the capitalist. we were equal to the people that had spent a lot of money as far as what we look like, or the quality of our product. We were right up there. We're probably one of the top, my guess, 100 apps right now or so for Twitter, my guess, given what's out there in the publicity we've got. And it was bootstrapped. I mean, it was
that's Andreas's what you got to tell people. Time. You spent like $1 million on it, so if they want to buy you, you're like, well, I got to make some money, so.
Yeah. I want to just tell everybody out there who is not has no interest whatsoever in building a business application or doesn't have the resources or interest, the value of Twitter for you is don't ignore it. Get on refollow.com. Start a Twitter account. Get on refollow.com. Get on Twello, T-W-E-L-L-O-W.com. Put in 5 keywords that you like. Set up free accounts. Refollow.com lets you find a person on Twitter that's relevant in your industry and then follow everybody that they're following in like one screen. Just select all, follow. Follow everybody that's relevant to your industry and you'll get about what? Anywhere between 50 to 80% follow backs, right?
Right.
Build your, over time, they're going to limit you. They're going to throttle you. Where the hell else on planet Earth can you build a relevant audience of people that are going to actually see your, what you're saying to the world? You can't do it on Facebook. You can't do it on MySpace. At this rate, do that over time, or have your secretary do it, or have somebody do it. Build an audience of tens of thousands of people over the next few months, and then talk to me about Twitter not being relevant.
Well, because my wife's a wedding planner, which is not technical at all as far as computers go, and she's all on it, and she's getting following, and she's gaining all kinds of momentum through the Twitter thing.
It's huge.
And name.
We're getting tons of traffic at GLI and BLI. Through Twitter, and we get retweeted. Some of our articles get retweeted 40 times.
Well, a couple interesting success stories. One is, just for fun, we put in green living. Blue living ideas.
Yeah, if you want to know how good Sean really
this is a hurrah
blue living ideas into WebGrader,
right?
And you will see that he kicks Google's ass.
I haven't even looked at blue living ideas on WebGrader.
Okay, 99.2.
Okay, blue living ideas on WebGrader.
WebsiteGrader.com.
WebsiteGrader. Which is
HubSpot. HubSpot's thing.
Okay, Google comes in at about 88.
No, 94.
94.
And what? Google.com?
94.
Well, and WebGrader, HubSpot comes in at 98.8.
Because they invented it. It's their tool, right? They're measuring all their stuff.
But Blue Living Ideas is 99.2.
Two.
So it's like, oh.
Green Living Ideas is 99.8 or 90 something like that. But that's right. Cool. I didn't know
that's
that.
That's awesome. I mean... So we have the rocket ship blog. You did an incredible job.
Thanks.
Of being followed. So, and all that stuff is how it all works. I mean, all the plugins and whatever. It's an amazing thing.
And one of the things that people get really frustrated or confused about is like, there are it's overwhelming. There are so many sites. And especially if you're not really into this stuff, it's a little overwhelming. And I would just say, if you want to focus your time in an efficient manner to get the most leverage, I really think Twitter is the one place to go. If you're picking, pick True. That one. Yeah.
It's so easy to get started. You're started in
thirty seconds. Is Twitter is taken off way faster than blogging, because people are ADD and they don't want to. It's hard
Everybody
to do
texts,
a blog
because
it's really hard to do a blog. Whereas texting, people could do texting. And in fact, we look at some of the statistics of texting. Texting, I can talk, didn't exist 5 years ago. Like nobody, there was like no texting.
No, I'm pretty sure my sister was still texting.
Now the annual. People texting is 7 billion.
Yeah.
7 billion.
It's short attention span theater.
What?
People like it.
Right. Seven. That's
I'm so bored with this conversation.
I mean, can we move on?
You know, that's a lot. 7 billion is a lot of people.
Well, just for fun. Like, what if I want... Steve, what is your Twitter handle if I would like to follow you, if I'm a listener of the show and I want to see what Steve has to
Steve
say on Twitter?
Personally or Steve's company?
Whatever you want to throw out there. Whatever you want to throw out there.
Steve Chipman. Is my personal one, and LexNet CRM, LexNet CRM is my business one, and then TweetFunnel is another one.
TweetFunnel,
and then there's Tech Exec Cast, and then I'll stop right there.
That's
right.
I know, I could never.
How about you, Andreas? Right. Do you have one?
I'm only using TweetFunnel.
He's a real man. He only needs a TweetFunnel.
I have one, but it's only that's another test, another second test. Oh, let's try a test with TweetFunnel. So
he scores high for keyword test.
Yeah. So it's
Sean,
like,
do
it's
you
nothing.
When he makes his first 10 million, he'll be A+W.
Right. Sean, do you have one you want to throw out there to our listeners? Because you have so many.
I'll just say Sean Daly.
Oh no.
S-E-A-N-D-A-L-Y.
The original. Right. I'm Jolly Marketing. J-O-L-L-Y Marketing.
So it is.
And you?
Paul Sandeman.
And it's like the Phil.
P-A-U-L-S-A-N-N-E-M-A-N.
And it's like the Phil Collins show. If you follow me, I will follow you.
Actually, I don't follow anybody. I'm going to be that rebel that has no. I don't follow anyone. And I got 12 so far.
Hey, we forgot one very important one, which is the BST podcast.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is BST podcast.
Right.
Lots of people start. Oh, speaking of mail. Oh, I'll talk about it next time.
Show.
All right.
Show.
You got to tune in next time. This is going to be good.
Thanks, everybody.
We'll
see you next time.
Yep. Thanks, folks.
Bye.
And there it is, another episode of Business Success Tips. Thanks as always for joining us. You can check out our website online at businesssuccesstips.org. Send us an email at friends@businesssuccesstips.org. Or if you're a Twitter stalker, find us at twitter.com/BST podcast. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.
Hey, this is Sean Daly, host of Green Talk Radio. Green Talk helps you navigate the maze of green and eco products on the market today and make smarter lifestyle choices at home and at work through informative and entertaining interviews with industry authors and experts, as well as executives from innovative companies around the world. Find Green Talk Radio on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. Green Talk Radio, environmental stewardship through smart consumption.